this morning. I did this one time at my own chapel, and I put these on. I got ones that aren't quite as dark. And one of the girls, I put these ones on, she goes, Mr. Nate can see now! And I'm thinking, oh, if only it was that easy. But still can't see any better, but you can see my eyes better. And in the words of Uncle Dave, now I have these special glasses, but I can still see you. Okay, good. So, probably, I would say, now, I told Aunt Ruth this yesterday, I reminded her, I was at their house one time several years ago, and Uncle David and I were down in the basement looking at some things, and he wanted me to go upstairs and get some for her. So I was going upstairs, and I thought, oh, my God, I was at the last, taking to the last step, coming up there, going into the kitchen, and I thought, I'm going to see if I can do an Uncle Dave imitation to fool Aunt Ruth. So I did. So I said, now, Rose, have you seen my Bible anywhere? No, she goes, no, David. I don't. And I'm like, the champion. The champion. I have arrived, but it's interesting. Definitely an icon at Camp Free years ago. And I was telling Uncle Dave yesterday, too, this is probably at least 15 years ago. I was flying somewhere, and I don't know whether I had a Camp Lila shirt on or something, but I had the emblem on it. And this girl says, is that old guy still there? Now, and she told me that she went to camp 20 years before that, and she says, I said, no, which old guy? She says, the one that sends out the birthday cards. And I said, well, did you get a birthday card this year? She said, yes. I said, well, then he's still going. But that would have been like 40-some years ago, and never mind, I'm not going to say about the old, never mind, I'm not going to do that because I love Uncle Dave, and I would never, well, maybe I would, but. Rocky, how you doing this morning?
I'm kind of embarrassed.
You're kind of embarrassed? Why?
Because I had a special song that I was going to sing today.
Yes, and what was the song you were going to sing today?
Jesus Loves Little Children.
Well, that's okay. You can sing it too. It'll be okay.
Okay. Jesus loves little children, all the children of the world. Pink and yellow, blue and green, strangest things you ever seen. Jesus loves little children of the world.
That's not how it goes.
No?
No. But they, y'all were delightful. That's the thing about that age group is it doesn't matter what you do. When you're up front, you're just...
You're cute.
You're cute.
And I got this fleshy little heart, right?
Exactly. That's what we would say. Now, you told me that you had something that you were working on.
Yeah. I was going to try to do an imitation today because you always... Every time you're here, you have to do your impression of Uncle Dave.
Yes. And so... Have you been practicing an impression?
Yes, I have.
Yes. And who are you going to imitate?
You.
You're gonna imitate me?
Yeah, I need to prep them.
You need to prep. Okay. Okay. We'll get the prep. I didn't know. Couldn't figure out why you told me that you wanted these. Now I know.
That'll help.
Don't get your tongue marks on there. There we go.
Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. My name's Mr. Nate. I can't see so well nowadays. Where'd you go?
That's pretty good. What happened?
I don't know, but I have your voice, and you have my voice.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. I don't kind of like this at all anymore.
I guess we should not try to do the invitation.
No, I don't think that's a very good idea, so let's not do it after all. Okay, that's good.
Well, that was a close one. But, so if you're not going to do an imitation, what talent might you have?
Well, I can make funny faces.
You can make funny faces.
Yes, I can. And I see you can, too.
That's my permanent face.
And it's funny. But that's okay. I still love you. Bless your little heart.
Thank you very much. So you're going to make a funny face. Now, before you make a funny face, you need to tell the boys and girls and men and women something. Your little disclaimer.
Oh, yes. Children, young and old, do not try this now or at home because I, Rocky Raccoon, am a trained professional.
Okay. So now that they know that, go ahead and make your funny face.
Okay, here goes.
That's a pretty good funny face. Uh-oh, what? What? I can't understand you. Oh, your face is stuck. Didn't your mama tell you if you keep doing that, your face will get stuck that way? I don't know.
gotta fix it. You gotta fix it. You gotta stop. Okay, well, what do you want me to do to fix your face? Do what? Pump up your tail. Okay, well, give it a shot. Yeah, Rocky?
That's a little too much.
Okay, what would you like me to do?
Can you let a little air out, please?
Okay.
Good. Now, do you want me to let a little air out of you, too?
That's not air.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
What is it?
It's breakfast.
What did Amy feed you?
She fed me French toast and bacon.
Bacon?
It's own food group. It's great. But, you know, we were talking, Rocky.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about imitators. And actually, imitating is a good thing if we imitate the right people. Now, oftentimes as parents, we're very concerned for our children because they imitate the actions of other kids.
And that's not always good.
It's not always good. Sometimes it's quite interesting. When I don't see the children all that long, sometimes I watch the children and I try to figure out if I can pick out whose family they belong to.
Because of the way they look?
Because of the way they act. Because sometimes, this is so funny, because sometimes kids act just like their parents. They do certain things, they make certain mannerisms the same way that their parents would.
It's pretty funny.
Well, sometimes it's pretty funny. It's kind of cute. And children really do that. They begin to take on the traits or the attributes of people that they hang around with the most. And so you see that. And hopefully we want to do that with good influences. But God says this to the young Christian.
Do you know what they faith and trust in Jesus?
Yes. Do you remember what he said in Ephesians chapter 5?
Yeah. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children.
As dear children. It's interesting that would be the phrase because children, when they do it, it's kind of an innocent thing. They're not trying to mock things, but they see certain things and they want to be like that. And so God encourages us as his children to be imitators of him. Now, also, I guess this is probably the best imitation of the verse that we talked about last night before we went to bed.
Yeah, 1 John 2:6. He who says that he abides in him, Jesus, ought to still talk just as he walks.
Exactly. I guess that would be the best form of imitation, is to take on the very characteristics of our Savior, that we are to walk just as he walked.
That'd be important.
That'd be very important because we do bear his name as a Christian. So in doing that, we ought to walk just as he walked, so that when people watch us, no matter where we are, they can kind of say, I think that person's a Christian.
I know that that's a Christian.
Yeah. Fortunately, I've had that happen a couple times in my life when people have said to me, you must be a Christian. Now, it wasn't because of what I said, but in this instance, it was because of what I wasn't doing that other people were. And they could tell that the situation bothered me, so they came up and said, you must be a Christian.
Because they recognized what you weren't doing was a good thing.
Was a good thing. And that encouraged them because they also were a Christian, so then there was that camaraderie, and we were able to encourage each other to do the right thing and walk away from the situation.
That's a good thing to do. Are we going to do something else today, too?
Yes, we are.
Can we do something fun?
You mean this isn't fun?
Well, it is, but can we do show and tell?
Yes, we could do show and tell.
Do you have something?
I do. I did bring something for show and tell today.
Okay, so ask him. I'll get ready and watch.
Okay. Don't. You just stare right at me.
That's what I do best. I'm a good starer. Don't take me on in not breaking because I'm really good.
Yes, you are really good. Well, I do have something. Hopefully, like it didn't go down that little hole because I moved the... it's right here. What I have here in my hand is a coin that was minted back in 1864. And I'm going to hand it to Miss Joy, who's going to show it to her class, and then she'll pass it around to everybody else. And then I'm going to the Palmer section of the building to get it when I'm done. So,
I noticed the trick y'all tried playing is taking their feet and putting it up front. That don't work. That don't fly down in the south either. It ain't gonna happen. I like it because when I'm here, I usually, because I've been here as many times as I have, I kind of know exactly where to look in the audience for who I want to make eye contact with, whether I can see her or not, you know? Because I know the Wilson girl always going to sit right here by the window because she likes the brush breeze this time of year. Okay. Uncle Dave's always kind of over in this general area. The cute youngins are up here. You that aren't related to some people, you mix yourselves amongst them, which is very good. And then I know that I got my friends in the back there. I think you have in the church, you know, you have elders and you have deacons and you have bouncers. And I think that that's what they, I think, at the time I've come to the conclusion that's probably their spiritual gift is bouncing. Not to be confused with when I bounce, because that's a whole nother thing. But we're going to talk for a few moments. Now, I think this is probably a puppet that you have not seen before. I got him quite a number of years ago at a very discounted price because the people hadn't taken very good care of him. The heads of these puppets are made out of rubber latex, and so you have to condition them several times a year so they don't get too dry, and you have to be very careful storing them so that they last a long time. Well, I got it for a very discounted price because people hadn't taken care of them, and I was able to use them for like a year and a half before he started crumbling in the face. So just recently, I sent four more puppets back to the company that makes them because it's just a fraction of the cost to have them redo the faces. It was great. I did the lion puppet here. I did the raccoon, my American bald eagle, and my possum. And I had told them, I kind of was bragging on my possum because I said I've had my possum for 15 years and didn't have to send it back. And their guarantee is like 3 years. So that was really, I thought, pretty good. So anyhow, when I got it back, I looked at it and I finally unwrapped the possum and I noticed that they didn't repair my possum. They gave me a new one at no additional cost. I was really thrilled with that. So I sent them a note back telling them that they did such great work on it, he looks like he's brand new. So they sent a smiling face back to me. Well, this is my dear friend, Gabrielle, the lion. Hey, how you doing here, guys? So good to see you this morning. I'm excited to make my first appearance here in the north.
Yeah, this is your first appearance up north.
And I'm excited.
You are excited.
And we're going to tell a story. And this is a true story that takes place here in the United States of America at a very tough time in this country.
Yes, because what year did this first take place?
Yes, in 1861.
And that was the time where tensions were really tight. And things were really edgy between the northern states and the southern states. Now, it's very interesting because living down now in South Carolina, you get a much different perspective. They would never call it the Civil War.
No, it's the war between the states.
They would call it war between the states or war against northern aggression. And it's very interesting if you do a little bit more homework with the thing on what issues were really at play. Eventually, the issue did become slavery, but that was not some of the initial things. Their biggest thing is they did not want the federal government being able to tell the state government and local governments what they could and could not do. That was the basic problem with the whole thing. But there were issues at hand that probably aren't very good things to do.
That's right. So, there's this guy.
What is the guy's name?
Mr. Watkinson.
Mr. Watkinson, who was a minister in a small town in Pennsylvania called Ridleyville. And he was a minister there of the gospel.
Yes, and so he was concerned with the country.
He was concerned with the country. Now, that's nothing new, because right now we're in a day and age when we're very concerned about the direction that our country is going once again. And so Mr. Watkinson, a minister of the gospel, was concerned enough that he started thinking, Gabrielle.
Yeah, what was he thinking?
He was wondering, if it came to war and both sides destroyed each other, was there anything that would be left behind that would indicate that we were anything except a heathen nation? As a matter of fact, what Mr. Watkinson decided to do is he decided to write a letter
to the Treasury Secretary.
Yeah, the Secretary of the Treasury under President Lincoln. And this is what he wrote. Can you read that? Can you see that from over there?
Yeah, I can probably see it better than you. Okay, here you go. Just like this. Dear sir, that's a good way to start a letter.
That is a very good way to start a letter.
Dear sir, you are left to submit your annual report to the Congress respecting the affairs of the national finances. One fact touching our currency has...
That's a word we don't use commonly anymore.
Hitherto?
Yes.
That makes me sound sophisticated.
It does make you sound sophisticated.
Yes, that has hitherto been seriously overlooked. I mean, the recognition of the Almighty God in some form in our coins. He continues to say, you are probably a Christian. What if our republic were now shattered beyond reconstruction? Would not, now here's some other big words.
Yes, these are big words.
Would not the antiquary, that means antique.
Yeah, that means antique. So after civilization has come and gone, the things that we would dig up would be...
junk.
No, antiquaries.
Junk. Garbage.
Well, but some of that stuff is pretty valuable.
That's right. So would not the antiquaries of 16 centuries write the reason, perhaps, that we were a heathen nation?
Exactly. So he was really concerned because you can tell a lot about people by the relics that are left behind. And so he was concerned, is there anything that would indicate to people times to come that we were anything except for a heathen nation? I mean, because I take it this way, Gabrielle.
What's that?
You know, sometimes you and I go on homes.
Yes, we do.
And oftentimes when we go on homes and you look around, you can tell what's important to people.
Yes. You remember that one time when you had to stay in that child's room?
Yes, there was one time, it was a teenage girl's room, that they said that the girl was supposed to clean her room before I got there, and she was supposed to take down posters that were on her wall.
Oops.
Oops is right. She didn't. I walked in the door and I said, you have got to be kidding me.
Did you say it out loud?
Yes. Yes, I did. And the mother was extremely embarrassed.
But she had him up when you weren't there.
She had him up when I don't know if it bothered her enough when I wasn't there, but it certainly bothered her when I was there. Some of the posters and things that were on the wall were very ungodly posters. They were bad pictures. So I turned around and walked back out, and they took everything down, put it away, and so she told her daughter that she could put it up after, because the daughter wasn't happy. She said, well, you can put it back up later. And
did you say something again?
Yes, I did. I said, you know, they'd be better off if you just put them in the garbage where they belong.
Did you really?
Yes.
Have you ever been back there?
Have I ever been back to their house? Yes. So it was okay. But, you know, sometimes we're embarrassed. And you can tell a lot about people by the things that they collect or the things that are surrounded about them or what people's priorities are in life. And so that was Mr. Watkinson's. That was what he was concerned with, was the things that we leave behind as a country, what would people be able to tell about the American civilization? So he had an idea for a coin to be minted, and this is his description. He says, what I propose is that instead of the goddess of liberty, which is already on the coins, that we shall have next inside the 13th star a ring inscribed with the words perpetual union, which means the union that keeps going around. Within this ring, the all-seeing eye, you know, like what we have on our dollar bill, and within this ring, the all-seeing eye crowned with a halo beneath this eye, the American flag bearing in its field stars equal to the number of states. United, and then they wanted to have folds on the bars, and then he thought that this phrase would be great. Remember what it was?
Yeah. God, liberty, and law.
God, liberty, and law. He said, this would make a beautiful coin to which no possible citizen could object, putting God on a coin. How could anybody object to that?
Things have changed.
Things have changed, haven't they? So, he said, from my heart I felt that our national, listen to this in this letter, this is 1861. You want to read this for them?
Yes. From my heart, I have felt that our national thing in disowning God is not the least of our present national disasters.
Yeah, he felt, as bad as impending war was, our shame and disowning of God was something that was even worse.
That's a problem now, too, isn't it?
It is a problem now.
It's not good.
It's not good. And so he says, first to you I address this subject that must be agitated or taken seriously. And it was exactly 1 week later that Secretary Chase wrote to the Mint Director, James Poeck, declaring that the trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins and directing him to prepare a motto expressing in the fewest words, because they didn't have a lot of room, and the tersest words.
The what?
Tersest.
The what?
Tersest.
What's that mean?
Precise. Not a word that we use a lot anymore, but it's a good word. So the fewest words possible and the most precise words are possible in saying something that would give acknowledgement to God. So Mr. Chase decided not to forward Mr. Rockington's idea of it because he had a better idea, but he actually really left it up to the director at the Mint. So he says, I propose for your, he told him how much the coin should weigh, some suggestions on it. He says this would be a great public convenience because they didn't want to carry around pennies anymore. So they thought a 2-cent piece would be better. But anyhow, things weren't worth as much as what they are now, inflation-wise. And he says the device is beautiful and appropriate. And please put the motto on there as all who fear God and love their country would approve. So he gave his suggestion kind of what he thought the coin should look like, but he said, you do what you think you should do. So, it took a few years.
Yes, and it's part of the mishap of April the 22nd, 1864. Taste of food, a pattern on a 2-cent piece.
Yes, 1864, it was finally approved, and they minted this first coin, and the motto was, in God, we trust. The coin that is passed to this room is the first coin ever minted in the United States with the motto, in God we trust.
Is it valuable?
Where's the coin? Can you raise? Okay. I can't see you, but I'm sure I can run you down.
With help.
With help, yes. The value of that particular coin that is passed through the room, because it's more valuable than because it was taken from the first striking in there because it's got smaller print on it. They went to a larger print, the next striking. If it was in mint condition, it's worth...
You're kidding.
No.
That much? $12,000?
Yes, if it was in mint condition, it would be worth $12,000.
How much is that worth? Is that all?
Yes. Right around $100 that one's worth. But the conversation piece is worth much more than that to me. But that is the first coin ever to bear the motto of In God We Trust. Now, it's very interesting because he really, I think, took it from the last stanza of Francis Scott Key's poem that we use as our national anthem. We only ever sing the first stanza. But in the last stanza, Key would write the phrase, and this be our motto, in God is our trust, and the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. If you look at his poem, there's a lot about God in his poem, but we don't sing that. We just sing the first verse, unfortunately. But so he shortened that down. He said that was very inspirational, so he shortened it down to In God We Trust, and so that applied to that coin. Now, years later,
in 1955, with good old Ike.
Yeah. President Eisenhower, Dwight D. Eisenhower, during the Cold War, July 11, 1955, Eisenhower signed a public law, 140, making it mandatory that all coins and paper currency display the motto, In God We Trust. So it really, if we think about it, it really hasn't been that long as a country that we have adopted that.
I like it.
I like it too.
I think it's cool.
I think it's great. But oftentimes, we get upset nowadays because we have seen the decline of people's belief in God and even tolerance of God in Christians declined much over the last years. And so often we get upset that they're taking God out of the school, they're taking God out of everything, and that's true. It's only been on our currency since 1955. Okay? I think it's great. I hate to see it go. I don't want it to go. But there's not sometimes a lot that we can do about it. And we get so upset about that. And they can take God off of everything publicly here. But one thing they cannot do
is take God out of your heart.
Is take God out of our hearts and out of our actions. And so I would say this. Rather than us getting so upset over those things, and I think it's right that we should get upset, and we should be vocal, respectful, and vocal, but I think that it would be very important for us to be mindful that the trust of God is not something that's on a piece of paper. It's meaningless, really, on a piece of paper. Yes, it's recognition, but trusting God should be something that we do, not just something that we say. And so I say this. In God we trust is my action motto. I don't want to just say it. I just don't want to have it on my money. I don't just want to lose it from our currency. I want to live it. Now, boys and girls, I'm going to tell you this. This year in Sunday school, you guys have learned a lot of things about God and how great God is. And probably the greatest thing that we could teach you is that God sent his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we could have the forgiveness of our sins. And so it's something that's very important to us, and not that we would want to teach our children that. Now, we used to be able to. I remember this when I was the age of these young ones right here. Now, Mr. Joe, how old are you? How old are your young ones?
3, 4, and 5.
3, 4, and 5, my favorite age group. Because I was once 3, 4, and 5. But I remember as kindergarten, I had a kindergarten teacher, and her name was Mrs. Norder. Now, Mrs. Norder, Mrs. Norder was really, I really liked her because she was one of my inspirations for doing my puppets, because she had a ventriloquist puppet on her file cabinet. And every once in a while, Mrs. Nutter would get the puppet down, and she would use the puppet. Now, she wasn't very good ventriloquist, but I didn't care. I was only 5. So she was really good to me. But one of the things that Mrs. Nutter did every day in school, in kindergarten, is she started our day, in public school, she started our day off praying to God. It was tremendous. It was wonderful. And then, you know what she did? She picked up her Bible, and she read a few verses to us every single day. That was great. That was 1965. Over the years, in those 1960s, a lot of things changed in our country that weren't so good. And so, over time, by the time that I was a senior in high school, it was very scarce that you would have any teacher have a Bible on their desk, let alone praying in the classroom. But occasionally there still would be some that would, you know, they changed it from praying to, let's have a moment of silence. Silence? I want to talk to God. What's silent about that?
Let's have a moment of silence and be in respect.
So we changed it so it would be more politically correct. Well, a lot of things change. The scriptures tell us this too. It says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And boys and girls, I might tell you this. People, us that are older have learned this. People will let you down. They might promise you things that they don't ever fulfill. That's what our government is based on, I think. But I'm not 100% sure. But I kind of think that they'll tell you what you want to hear, but they have in their mind what they're going to do regardless of what you think anyhow. But that is a great motto for us to learn, is that we should put trust in God rather than in man. Now, I've got another couple I'm going to bring out in just a second. This right here is another great verse, Psalm 62:8. Trust in him, speaking of God. At all times, you people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God doesn't want a moment of silence. God wants us to pour our hearts out to him. And so I think as we have opportunity to do it in a respectful way. Now, I want to say some things are really different culturally speaking. Yesterday I told you about some words in the South, you know, like mashing buttons and might could and reckon and things like that. One of the things I have noticed, though, in the area where I live in South Carolina, it tends to be in our public arenas that people are much more friendly with God. Now, we're very fortunate. I live about 40 minutes from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Very conservative school, and I think the influence of that conservative school has helped to keep that general area a little bit more conservative. A couple of years ago, when I first moved down to South Carolina, I was at a public school doing an after-school program, a Good News Club, their little Bible club. I was doing their wrap-up for the year, and some of the teachers and the principals came because they wanted to see how I did what I did. And so then the principal came to me afterwards. She says, could you come back to my school in the fall and do a program? She says, Now, and she says, and it's okay to talk about God. She says, not the whole thing, but she says, you know, if you could, like at the end, just do a little thing, she says, that would be fine. And I said, you're not worried about getting in trouble? She says, this is my school. So I had that opportunity. It was great. You know, trust is a great thing. And in Proverbs, it says, the trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Well, probably one of my favorite puppets has got to be Gramps. Gramps, we had an opportunity last Sunday. We were down just outside of Atlanta in Gwinnett, Georgia, and we got to go to a senior center afterwards, and the older women absolutely love Gramps. And he's a little bit of a flirt, but in a good way. I think that they just love the attention that he gets. Well, Gramps and I would like to tell you a true story about trusting God. And it would start out, if I would start it, let me see if I can get my hand. Okay, there we go.
How are you doing there?
I'm doing good. You okay?
No.
How come?
I got something stuck in my throat.
What is stuck in your throat?
Your hand! Oh! Oh, gotta stop doing that.
Yes. Well, why don't you tell them the story about this little girl?
Well, her name was Louisa. Now, Louisa, when she was just a young girl, she realized that she was a sinner. And that because she was a sinner, she deserved God's judgment, and she was going to go to hell. And she didn't want to do that. So she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior at an early age. And then guess what?
What?
She?
Wanted?
To?
Yes?
Be a missionary.
She wanted to be a missionary. That's a great thing. Did she become a missionary?
Not right away.
How come?
Because she was sickly. She got sick a lot as a child. And that kind of discouraged her a little bit, but she still trusted God, and she served him right there at home.
Yeah, right home over in England. So she was a sickly girl. She couldn't go overseas. She had a dream that she wanted to go to Africa to be a missionary. But because of her health, she realized that she could be a missionary right at home, and that she was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone that she came in contact with.
Well, she still felt the call of God, and she decided to go to the United States of America.
It's our country right here. And so in 1871, she arrived here in the United States. And in 1875, guess what happened?
She went to Africa? No. She got married. She fell in love, and she got married to Mr. Steed.
To Mr. Steed, yes. And what happened?
They had a cute little baby. Bless her little heart. She was, anyhow, they had a little baby, and they named her Lily.
Yes, named her Lily. And when Lily was 4 years old, they decided to go on a family picnic. You know how we had the picnic yesterday? They decided to go on a family picnic, and they decided to go to the beach at Long Island Sound, New York. By New York City. And so they were there enjoying their picnic lunch when all of a sudden they heard screams from the water. And as they looked out at the water, there was a little boy that went out too far in the water and he could not swim.
And he was drowning.
Now, I want to tell you, boys and girls, if you can't swim, don't go near the water. And if you're in the water, like in a boat, always, always put on your life jacket. Now, parents always do, watch your children when they're in pools.
This ain't preaching.
Oh, yes, this is. But wash your children in pools. I can't begin to tell you how many times I'm at places, at people's houses, and they have a pool, and they let all the kids in the water, and nobody pays attention.
Yeah, things could happen.
Well, things happened this day. This little boy got out too far, and he started drowning. Now, there wasn't a lifeguard on duty, so Mr. Steed thought he was helping. So he ran out and started swimming towards the little boy in the water.
Didn't have a life jacket?
No.
A buoy?
No.
A stick?
No.
Just him?
Just him.
That's not good.
Not good. Because when he got near the boy was so panicked that he realized he could finally climb on something. And he climbed on the top
of Mr. Seed's head and he drowned.
On top of his head. And John, he was so busy trying to get up in the water that Mr. Seed ended up drowning because the boy was so frantic and holding on to him. And then the boy ended up drowning too.
That was a sad day because Louisa and her daughter Lily saw it all happen.
They saw it all happen. Very sad. And in this case, too, Mr. Steve was the one who had the income, who paid the bills. And now poor Louisa, she was without a husband and without an income.
No money coming in, that's sad.
That was sad. And so people at first were very kind. God's people are always kind and mindful of things, you know, especially in tragedy. But sometimes after the tragedy is over a little while, we forget about it. We forget that there might still be needs in families' lives. And so it got to be that way with Louisa and Lily.
Yeah, and they didn't have enough food.
Matter of fact, this one day they went to the cupboard, and there was no food at all.
They didn't have food stamps?
No. Didn't have food stamps. Didn't have anything like that. So they decided that Louisa decided to take Lily, and they would go sit at the table, and they did, and they decided to pray.
Which is always a good thing. But did she?
She prayed. A little while later that day, she heard a commotion out on her front porch. And the next time that they opened the door, out there on the front porch was a big parcel full of groceries.
Big bag of groceries?
Oh, yeah. Lots of groceries. Great stuff that was very practical that they could use. So thankful. Also in that parcel, in that bag, was
an envelope.
An envelope. And guess what was inside the envelope?
A letter?
No.
Oh, yeah. Money.
Money to be used however she thought that she needed to use it. It was great. God had blessed her so much. Now, Louisa, to be honest, she was embarrassed, she thinks, at the lack of her trusting God. You know, doubting that God maybe would have supplied her very need. Well, Louisa was a woman that loved to write poetry. So after this experience, she decided to write a poem.
It was a good poem.
It was a good poem.
And they turned it into a song later.
Yes, Mr. Kirkpatrick helped her to put a tune to it later. But the poem goes, you want to read it for them?
Here, it goes like this. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to trust his cleansing God. And in simple faith, to plunge in neath the healing, cleansing flood. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, look beneath me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
You know, it was great because she was kind of embarrassed about her lack of trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that God tells us in his word that all things work together for good to those who are called, who love God, are called according to his purpose. And so our position as Christians is to trust God and to love God. And there are times when we will have difficult circumstances in life. But God sees the big picture. And oftentimes we can look back and we can say, you know, I can see God's hand through it all. But we need to have the ability to see God's hand through it all as it's happening. And that would be much better.
There's a great psalm I want to tell him. Can I tell him?
Yeah, you tell him the psalm.
Psalm 25. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day long. Psalm 62. Trust in the Lord at all times. You behold, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalm 9. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. God, youngins, I want to tell you this. God is trustworthy all the time.
All the time. Not
our hearts and in our actions is the way that we as Christians must trust God. Now, Mr. Wilson, could you come on up here? Maybe we could sing, a stanza from that song, okay? And then,
534.
And then if you could close in prayer, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Nathan. Number 534, we'll sing the first verse of 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, and then we have some stuff for the kids right here. Mr. Lehman wasn't able to be here, but he went and got gift certificates from Francile's ice cream place right up here on South Park. So I have them right here. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to ask, I'm going to stay up here, and you guys, the kids, can come up and get one, okay? We got to do things. God tells us in His Word, He does things decently and in order, so we don't need a big bum's rush up here, so everybody will get one, okay? So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to close in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we do want to thank You that we can trust in You. We want to thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ who went to the cross and bore our sins in His own body on the tree and shed His blood to wash those sins away. We want to thank You that we can trust in that and that it is good forever, that the Lord Jesus Christ's blood cleanses from all sin for all time. He did it once, and that was all that was necessary. And we heard about propitiation yesterday. We thank You for the fact that God, our Heavenly Father, is satisfied with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank You for our time today, and we want to thank You for our kids. We ask Your blessing on them. We just ask Your blessing as we part. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.